the lion, he saw me through with the bear, and he will see me through with you. So David takes this rock, and he launches it into the head, amen, of the Philistine, of this big giant. Down falls Goliath. Now David, the scripture goes on to say that he didn't have no spear in his hand. He didn't have no equipment in his hand. So he ran up to him, stood up on him, and drew out his own weapon. This big heavy weapon that probably was heavier than he was. He drew his own sword, Goliath's own sword, and cut his head off with his own equipment and took the head back. And when all these Philistines, the one that was taunting the Israelites for all this time, the one when they seen this, guess what they did? They fled. They took off and broke camp. Just like you got to wear somebody out with a piece of help. When he seen that David took care of the giant, amen, they flee. You have to be the same way with things in your life. When things seem to be overcoming you, you got to tackle it head on. But you got to have God in front of you when you do it. You can't do it on your own. You got to let God be in front of you in everything that you do. When David volunteered to fight Goliath, King Saul told him, "You're not able." Saul even thought that he wasn't able, thought he was too small. He went on to explain to David that he was no match with Goliath because he had been a warrior from his birth. He'd been fighting all along. All this time he's been fighting. He's a warrior. You're too little. You're too small. You weren't even considered in the matchup. You're not even part of the army. Only thing you do is deliver supplies and come back here and take care of these sheep. That's your only job. But no, David had trust in God. He said, "All I need is my God with me." And you can have the same way tonight, amen. As long as you got God with you. When David was failed to be persuaded not to fight, Saul attempted to cover him with his equipment. "Look, try this, put this on, take this armor." David said, I don't need that. I just need Christ Jesus and what I already have. I'm going to take care of it. He saw me through. Now, he may be a giant, but he ain't no bear. He may be a giant, but he ain't no lion. God saw me through with that, and he would take care of the same thing then.
Yes, sir.
When we feel like we are powerless and when we can't do anything, lean to God. When we feel like we are broken and don't know which way to go, lean to God. When we feel like we are open for attack for anything around us, lean to God. So when all else fails, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God and fight with the equipment that you have. Fight with trusting. Fight with believing. Fight with understanding. Fight with commitment to God. Fight with fasting. Fight with prayer. Fight with all these things that God has equipped you with. Fight with the fruits of the Spirit. Fight with everything that's within you. And know that God is able to bring you through.
We are in hopes that you enjoyed our bishop's message today and were truly blessed. If you would like a copy of today's message, please call 337-238-0314, or you can visit our website at www.churchofjesuschristhop.org. Praise be to God, to our co-founder, Pastor Annie Mulberry. Be blessed in Jesus' name until we meet again this same time next week.
Grace and favor.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. praising the Lord.
You've just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15, to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my prayer? Oh, while on earth, call him Savior, do. Do not. Oh, I'm calling you, my blessed Savior. Oh, why don't you hear my? Thank you, Jesus. While on earth. Savior, do not. Don't pass me by. Oh, I'm calling you. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you hear my? Late in the midnight hour, early in the morning. Savior, do see it.
Our Father, here it is once again, one of your weak and humble servants. Bow down here to thank you for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Oh, Father, we didn't bow down here for no fashion, no form or outside show to a dying world. But we bow down here because the words say every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. And we want to just say thank you, Father. You've been so good. And you've been so kind. You look beyond all our faults, and you saw our needs. And again, I wanna just say thank you. I thank you for the sunshine, and I thank you for the rain. I thank you for food, clothing, shelter, and for strength. And most of all, Father, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who went out and died that we may have a right to the tree of life. Father, we thank you because you've been so good. Father, we ask a blessing on the Mount Calvary family. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless their homes, bless their children. Father, you know what they stand in need of. We ask if you supply their need. We ask a blessing on our pastor, Father, and his family. Lead and guide them and show them the way to go. We realize this morning, Father, that you are an almighty God, and all power, heaven and earth, is in your hand. And we want to just say thank you, Father. We ask a blessing on our family. Bless our sister, our brothers, our children and our grandchildren, and bless our wife and her family. Father, we know that you are an almighty God, and we know, Father, that you can do anything you want to do, and we want to just say thank you, Father. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. There's no other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, I don't know what I'll do. Father, please be with us. Stand by us, lead us, and guide us, and show us the pathway to heaven. Father, oh Father, I just love to call your name. Father, there's peace, there's joy, there's understanding, all in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. You've been so good, and you've been so kind. You look beyond all our faults, and you saw our needs. And I just want to say thank you, Father. Father, I just love calling your name. I just love calling your name, Father, because there's so much understanding in the name of Jesus. Please have mercy. Have mercy on me, Father. Oh, Father, I remember a long time ago, Father, when I was on my way to a devil's hell. I had no God in my heart. I had no one to call on. But now, Father, you took my feet out of the mire of clay and you set it up on a rock. Now I have a steady walk, Father. I just love to call your name. Lord, have mercy. Please, Lord, be with us, stand by us, and lead us and guide us, and show us the way to go. Father, oh, Father, Father, oh, Father, Father, I just love to call your name. I just love to call your name. Father, oh Father. I can remember, Father, when I was a young man. Father, I can remember. You brought me up, Father. You gave me a job, Father. And oh Father, I've been walking ever since. And I just give you the honor, and I just give you the praise, because it all belongs to you, Father. Father, we read in your Sunday school lesson this morning, you said, holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts, all the earth is full of his glory. And Father, please, Father, instill in our young men's to come out to Sunday school and be in the Word, Father. They can learn a great deal. And I wish, Father, I wish they would come. But Father, I can't wait. I just can't wait, Father. I gotta come on. I gotta come on. And I got to study the Word of God. Oh, Father. Please have mercy. Have mercy on me. Father, we thank you for the sunshine, and we thank you for the rain, food and clothing and shelter and strength. We thank you, Father. You are the maker, and you are the giver of life, and we all everything to you, Father. And after a while, Father, when this old warfare is over, when we too must come in not to go out anymore, when we too must hang up our Bible, and Father, please have mercy on us. Please, Father, have mercy on us. We need mercy. Mercy suit our case, Father, because we know the world is yours and everything therein. Cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. All the silver and gold all belongs to you. And oh, Father, when we come to the end of our journey, time has been, won't be no more. I want to be like Brother Paul. I fought a good fight, and I finished my course. I know there's a crown of life waiting for me. And not just for me only, but for all those who love the Lord and serve his name. Please have mercy. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Right now, for your grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you right now for families, friends, church members, church family. Lord, we're asking right now to look down on families. Families are under attack. Please, Lord, lift up families. Lift families, and when you lift families, Lord, you lift individuals. We're asking right now, Lord, to get into the homes and get into the apartment complex, the duplex, wherever they live, and lift families. But we know right now that when the family is destroyed, when the foundation is destroyed, the house just can't stand. The roof get the leaking. The walls get the sagging. The floor buckles. Right now, strengthen the family unit. Please, Lord. And Lord, I pray that there's something I say here today that will help strengthen families. Please, in your name we pray. We all say amen. Amen. I asked Sister Cindy not to do Amazing Grace today so we could get right to this. This may be a little bit off the cuff, but there's a problem in our homes. And the problem may not be a person or persons, but it could be principalities. And degenerate spirits and things that come from places you would not believe that they come from. But the devil is busy and the devil is strong. He's getting in our homes and he wants to make you back up. He wants to make you turn around. He's not happy because you're marching toward the prize. He wants you to turn around. So what I'm going to do today, I'm going to read one of my favorite passages, When Things Get Like This. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I always talk about this. But he said, it's a good passage. And when you need it, just like a favorite song, when we need that favorite song, we pull it out. Amen. Philippians 3rd chapter says this. Philippians 3, starting at 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's talk a little bit about press on in Jesus. Press on in Jesus. Because he wants us to turn around, the devil does. The Apostle Paul represented a whole lot of dedication. He had a misguided dedication at first. Thought he was doing it right, but he was doing wrong. But when he became a Christian, he was steadfast, unmovable. He was entrenched in the gospel. I wonder how many of us today that used to do wrong. Amen. But we got our hand in the hand of Jesus now. Amen, amen. But we just can't seem to keep it there. Every little problem come through, every little dissension, every little indiscretion, and we want to jerk our hand out of the hand of the man from Galilee. Stay right there. Don't let that stuff turn you around. Paul knew how to put things in perspective. He was the proverbial glass half full guy. You know, you can take a glass of water and you can say it's either half empty or half full, depending on your viewpoint. Amen. But we need to worry about some other things. But salvation, we need to leave to Jesus. Can I get a witness? The Philippians were privy to Paul's experience, his trials, his tribulations, his losses, and his victories. We all got some victories and some losses. But let me tell you something. Take the win whenever you can. Can I get a witness? It might be a little small win, but take it whenever you can. Feel good about it, because somewhere down the road you're going to have a problem. Get Jesus while you can. We all have to keep moving forward. We're all goal-oriented. We all got a goal. But we must keep our eye on the prize. Solomon says in Proverbs 4:25, says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, if we stay focused on God, we won't let every little thing derail us. Amen. If we stay focused on God, we'll know that life can throw us some bad stuff every now and then. But it can knock us down. It ain't no shame of getting knocked down. But it's a shame of staying on the ground. Get up in Jesus' name. Tell God about it. While you're down, say a prayer. While you're down, stay on your knees. But get up and tell God, I'm moving on. I'm going to press on. Our text today tells us in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Listen, I may not be where I want to be, but my purpose in Christ is to keep striving. Amen. Amen. My purpose is to be further up the road than I was yesterday. Amen. I may not be at the end of the road yet, but I'm going to make a few more miles than I made on yesterday. I ain't gonna turn around. There might be a detour sign ahead of me, but I'm gonna detour and make all the crooks and turns and keep going forward. Amen. That's what Paul did. I'm striving to be more and more like Jesus. Yes, and if you're striving to be like Jesus, you'll love better, you'll live better, you'll act better, talk better, you'll be better. Press on. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I haven't reached my goal. Amen. We won't ever reach our goal until we get to heaven. When I was a little boy, we used to have services. Well, you get up and tell your determination. And the first thing they taught you how to say is, my determination is to reach heaven. That's my ultimate goal. I don't dwell on the past. There used to be an old song, say, don't keep bringing up the past. Leave the past behind. Let me tell you one thing. We know what we've been through. We know where we've been. We know why we went there. But we're marching on to the high prize. Not going to let my past indiscretions define my future. I'm trying to reach my destination. Look what Paul says in 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize I'm trying to reach is the high calling, not the low calling. Amen. Not the medium calling. I'm trying to reach the high prize. When you run a race, you're running for first place. Can I get a witness? Now, if you get second place or third place, that's all right too, but nobody get in a race talking about I'm running for third place. I'm running for first place. I'm running for the high prize. Is there anybody here that wants the high prize? It's time to refocus our priorities. Paul said that one thing he was going to do is concentrate on Jesus. And I like the way he said, one thing I'm going to do. In other words, whatever you do, that's your business. But I'm going to tell you one thing I'm going to do. Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to have family prayer. As for me and my house, I'm going to tell my children right from wrong. And while I'm at it, let me tell you something. You tell your children. They may not do everything you want them to do, but tell them anyway. Don't let them make you stop telling them. Keep on telling them about the high prize. Keep on telling them about the destination. Keep on telling them about making first place. And don't let stuff throw you off. Got a lot of stuff in our lives today. You see, Paul had a lot of jobs himself. I mean, he was a preacher, teacher. When he had a chance, he made tents even. Amen. But he was concentrating mostly on Jesus. Now, whatever you got going on in your life, that's all right. Your jobs, your children, your social life, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, whatever it is, make Jesus your number one choice. Can I get a witness? Make Jesus your high prize. Isn't that right? And make everything else come after that. Philippians 4 and 12 says this, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry and to abound and to suffer need. Now that means one thing. I appreciate what God has given me. Lord, I thank you for that little house over on Dupree Street. Lord, I thank you for my family, for my wife and my children. Lord, I thank you right now for my church family. But Lord, I wouldn't have any of that if I didn't have Jesus. Can I get a witness? Does anybody here know that whatever you got, you wouldn't have it if you didn't have Jesus? If you didn't have Jesus, you wouldn't have love. You didn't have Jesus, wouldn't have your health and strength. If you didn't have Jesus, you wouldn't have all of the comforts you have in your house. Anybody here got cable TV? Anybody got air conditioning? Anybody got a new car? Anybody eat shrimp every now and then? Anybody eat steak? Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And say, I'm gonna press on. I'm gonna press on when friends turn their backs. I'm gonna press on when trouble arise. I'm gonna press on when food ain't on my table.
I'm going to press on. When my community turned